Bibles in spite of the storm, which brings me to give you an update of where Lawrence Tuning is today. He wrote that great song that's blessed the world. He's ministering this morning in Bishopville at his home church where he grew up as a boy. And tonight at 6 o'clock, he will be in concert at Bishopville First Baptist Church. We always pray for Lawrence as he's traveling the country ministering when he's not here with us at Abundant Life. Well, I've enjoyed teaching the parables of Jesus. These are stories Jesus told during his ministry on earth. We have them recorded to be a blessing to us. And we've talked about several of the parables that are so filled with revelation that describe the kingdom. And that's how we are aware of kingdom principles, is from these stories Jesus told. And always and forever for the rest of our lives, whenever we read a parable, from this point forward forever, we will hold God to his word. In Mark 4:33, it says, "With many parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it." So the truth is, the teacher appears when the student is ready. And he speaks his word not according to his ability to speak. That's never in question. He speaks his word to us as we're able to hear. So based on that, the promise of God right there, I'm telling you today, you're going to hear the word you need to hear. Everybody can hear what we need to hear the most, because he speaks as we're able and the teacher appears. The Holy Spirit is the teacher, and he shows up and starts teaching when we, the students, are ready. So let's get our confession right. Say it out loud with me. I have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I am able to hear him speak. The Holy Spirit appears when I am ready to hear, and I am all ears. I will hear the word I need to hear the most. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 45, another parable today. These words are written in red. Jesus is speaking and he says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." Now I want to speak to you about one pearl of great price. What if I were to tell you today, and this word is for somebody, what if I were to tell you today, you are one decision away from a totally different life? Wouldn't that be wonderful? If you were one decision away from a totally different life. Some of you are begging for that right now. And it can become reality. There comes a time in our lives when God gives us an opportunity and a window opens. And if we don't seize that moment, it may be gone forever. But let's not minimize the power of a decision. When you have the ability to make a decision, it's a powerful thing. Now, on a very minimal level, let me share with you what I mean. Some of you live real close to your grandchildren. Some of you. Harvey and Marla, I saw you a while ago. Where you living close to your grandchildren? Some of us don't. Some of you who live so close to you, it don't even require a decision. You want to go see your grandchildren? You don't have to pray about it. Take a day off from work. You can get in the car and go. Cross the street. Cross town. No decision is required. But now for others of us, it requires a decision. We got to take a week's vacation, 2 plane tickets, plus everything else. It requires a decision. It is worth it. We do make those decisions. But if you have it within your ability to make a decision, then stay out of the valley of indecision. Now, here in this parable, this story Jesus told that describes kingdom truth, there was a merchant, a tradesman, someone who buys and sells, someone who was in business and on top of his game. He knew the product he was dealing with, and he was searching for beautiful pearls. And while he was doing business on top of his game, he discovered one pearl of great price. And he had a decision to make right then. He couldn't put it off. Some of you who may be one decision away from a totally different life may be standing on the edge of that opportunity when you've got to make a decision. Indecision will kill your spiritual authority. This merchant discovered one pearl that had such value. He said, I'm going to sell everything I have so that I can purchase this one pearl of great value. Have you ever wished you could discover something so valuable that you would be willing to sell everything you had in the world in order to get that one thing? One pearl can be worth a fortune. Now, there are two interpretations to this parable, and neither one are wrong. Both are right. Let's look at both of them. First of all, the interpretation of this parable talks about our seeking after God. Christ is the pearl. You know how it is in your BC days before Christ. You're randomly stumbling through life and there's a void in here, and you know there's a void and you don't know what's going to fit to fill that void. And so you don't know any better, and it's whatever. Stumbling through life, and then on any given day, you did not plan it, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, you discover the power of the gospel. And Christ becomes real to you. And at that moment of discovery, that pearl, Christ, the pearl of great value, you're willing to say, I'm going to give up everything in my life for this. I'm going to walk away from everything else so I can have this. This is worth more than everything else I have collectively combined. I'm going with this one pearl. That's one interpretation. We are the merchant. We're doing the seeking. We're seeking after God, and we find Christ to be something of extraordinary value when we find it, and we're willing to give up our life so that we can have this pearl. Christ is the pearl. That's one interpretation, our seeking after God. The second interpretation, though, is God seeking after us. And the revelation there is, he thinks we are the pearl of great price. Now, I know what it is to be the one seeking after God, and that's your testimony too. When you're the one seeking after God and you find Christ, the pearl of great price, Psalm 119 and verse 162. David the psalmist knew what that was like when he said, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. All of us have stumbled into great treasure as we've read God's word. That's our testimony. Most of us in this room, I would hope all of us in this room, know what it's like to discover Christ as the pearl of great value. The songwriter knew what it was like when he wrote, I'd rather have Jesus. The words go like this, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. So yes, one interpretation of this pearl of great price parable is our seeking after God, and Christ is the pearl. But I'm going to put my money on the other interpretation because I believe it's more biblical. And that is God, Jesus, describing in this parable what it's like for God the Father to be the one seeking for one pearl of great price. And when God finds that one pearl of great price, he says, I will give everything I have so I can purchase this. The Message translation says that the merchant was on the hunt. Now look, God is on the hunt. He's on the lookout. He's on your trail. You are of value to him. He's not going to do without you. He cannot do without you. You're of such value to him. He's already decided, I'm going to find that pearl. And when I find it, I'm going to give everything valuable away that I have, if necessary, so I can purchase. That's why I say this interpretation is more biblical. Because the first interpretation, our seeking after God, we cannot purchase that. But the second interpretation, God seeking after us, he can purchase us, and he did. That's why I think this one is the more biblical interpretation. God seeking after us, God is on the hunt for every one of us as his children. There's an active expectancy on God's part in this parable. An active expectancy. This merchant was looking through beautiful pearls, actively expecting to find one pearl of great price. Here's another reason I'm going with the second interpretation as the most biblical. God found in us something worth the equivalent of everything else he has. He bankrupted heaven to purchase us by sending his son. Now, I know that's a play on words. I'm sure heaven could never be bankrupted, but work with me here. He sent his son from heaven to earth to die a horrible death so that he could purchase the one pearl of great price he saw in us. 1 Peter Chapter 1 and verse 18 says, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now listen, can you ever, in your wildest imagination, understand why a king would give up his throne? Just imagine if you can. Why would a king ever give up his throne? Now, it has happened. It's very rare, but it has happened. In the 1930s, the King of England and all of Great Britain was King George V. King George V ruled Great Britain as king. And when he died, his oldest son, Edward VIII, became king in 1936. In 1936, King Edward VIII ruled, but he ruled for less than 1 year because he was in love with this American divorcee you see on the screen there. Her name is Wallis Simpson. Now, she was divorced twice, and yet they were in love. But monarchy protocol refused to allow the King of England, who was also the head of the Church of England, to marry a divorced woman. So this king, King Edward VIII, ruling as king over Great Britain, gave up his throne because of this woman that he loved. If he could not have her as his wife while sitting on the throne, he got off the throne and walked away. And they lived the rest of their life in exile in France, banished from their home country because of the great love he had for her and she had for him. On December the 11th, 1936, King Edward VIII abdicated his throne, and he said this, and I quote, "I have found it impossible to carry the responsibilities as king without the help and support of the one I love." That's what God said about us. God, King of the universe, creator of everything, said, "I cannot carry the responsibilities without the help and the support of the pearl of great price that I love." So God sent his son Jesus to purchase us. We are the one pearl with great price. Now look at that picture. What did he see in her? I am so sorry. Look at this. Look at this face. I am so sorry, but look. I know his mouth fell open right there on the front row, but I'm sorry. Look at her. Would you give up a kingdom for her? Must have been love, all's I'm saying. And my spiritual parallel point is, what did he see in us? Look at her. I'm sorry. Okay, point taken. All right. Love saw something in that woman that he just could not live without. Same with God. His love for, he saw something in us that he said, I can't be the God I must be without the help and the support of the one I love. And I will give everything I have in heaven to purchase that one pearl. And he gave his son, and his son's blood purchased us. Jesus is the king who gave up his throne in order to win a larger kingdom. Let's look quickly at two or three things about the pearl. This is scientifically true. Number one, the pearl is a product of suffering. You see a woman with real pearls on her necklace? I'm not talking faux or fake. I'm talking a genuine jewel, a perfect pearl, very expensive. But the only way the pearl came into being was through pain. and suffering. A pearl is formed when an oyster gets a grain of sand trapped in the soft flesh within its shell. And this piece of sand irritates. Oh, anybody been irritated? I could stop right now and read a chapter of my life story. I'm writing my autobiography. The title is Don't Get Me Started. But this piece of sand that gets inside the soft flesh of the oyster irritates that tender oyster. And it responds by covering the grain of sand with layer upon layer of calcium coating. And after years of that kind of irritation, years, finally, the pearl is formed. But the pearl is a product of pain. The church also was born out of suffering, the horrible death that Jesus died. What we have today, how wonderful it is in here today. What in praise and worship, absolutely glorious in this house this morning. What we enjoy today is free, but it certainly was not cheap. The pearl is a product of suffering. Secondly, the pearl grows gradually. It takes years for an oyster to produce a pearl. Some of the most discouraging statements you can ever make begin with the words, I would have thought by now. Some of you are thinking that right now. I would have thought by now my children would be saved. I would have thought by now the dream I have for a business would be off the ground. I would have thought by now my body would be healed. I would have thought by now my bank account would be full. I would have thought by now I'd be in a position to give more than I am able to give. I would have thought by now. Those words begin the most discouraging statements you will ever make. But the truth is, the work that God does in us as His children is a gradual maturing. And nobody can tell with the natural eye. You can look at the person sitting beside you today. You cannot tell with your natural eyesight what God is doing in them to grow them and mature them in this season of their life. It's invisible to the natural eye. Other people can only see the visible, but God sees the invisible. Next point is, the pearl is a hidden work. It grows in a hidden place. That oyster, irritated. That tender flesh of an oyster, irritated by that one grain of sand that just will not go away, will not stop the pain and the suffering for that tender oyster inside that hard shell. But what we're not able to see is the hidden work. God is working on a pearl. He's working on a jewel. He's working on a gem. It may take years and years and years and years, but when God is finished doing a hidden work in His pearl, it's going to have great value. And then, final point about the pearl is, the pearl, listen to this one, is indivisible. The pearl is indivisible. William Rhodes is a jeweler. He's a professional jeweler. This man can look at your diamond and tell you if you paid too much. William, you probably already know this. I did not. But the pearl is the only gem known to man that cannot be cut. Diamonds can be cut. Rubies can be cut. Sapphires can be cut. In fact, they must be cut to reach their ultimate value. But the pearl cannot be divided. To cut a pearl is to utterly destroy it of all of its worth. It's the only jewel, the only gem on earth that cannot be divided. And that speaks of the church united. It is never the will of God that his one pearl of great price be cut or to be divided, because to cut a pearl destroys all of its worth. So the meaning of this parable to me more than ever is not a story of me as a merchant trying to buy a pearl. Even if I'm willing to sell everything else I own so that I can afford that one pearl. No, no, no. This parable to me today confirms the value God sees in each of us and all of us corporately as one pearl he thought had great price. He is the one with the ability to purchase us. We could never purchase him, but he purchased us with the blood of his own son. To get an idea of how valuable we are to God, ask yourself this question: how valuable is your body to you? How valuable is your body to you? Hey, you ain't got but one. How valuable is your body to you? Well, Jesus says the same thing about his body. Now, the truth about me and you, I'm a spirit. You're looking at my body. You cannot see the hidden pearl. You cannot see the hidden work God's doing. You're looking at my body. You're looking at this and you're thinking that's Carl. You're wrong. You cannot see the real Carl. It's a spirit. You cannot kill the real Carl. It's a spirit. You can hurt the body, the house, the shell, the tent, the tabernacle Carl lives in right now. Carl's going to live up in here for about 120 years. Then Carl's going to get a new house. But now, I don't want to minimize the body. Carl need this body. Carl's going to need this body for about 120 years. And you know, I am not a hand, but I need this hand. And I'm not a leg, but I need this leg, because when the praise band gets going just right, I can't stop my leg. So how valuable is your body to you? Of course you got to have your body in this world. The body without the spirit is dead. The only thing alive about me and you is the spirit. And while we're alive in this world, we value this body. We need it. It's valuable. And Jesus thinks the same thing. Jesus is the head of the church, but we are his body. How valuable is your body to you? How valuable are we to God? We are his body. And the body without the spirit is dead. Now, good news is, and we're closing with good news, then we're going to give opportunity to pray for you. Personal prayer, because many needs in the faith. I feel faith rising in this place. My faith is higher than it was at 10 o'clock. And so some of you are ready. Some of you will have a window. Some of you are going to discover, and you have a decision. You say, oh, I'm jumping at this. I'm getting prayer today. Because I'm believing today is my day for a miracle, for a deliverance, for a breakthrough, for a turnaround, for a healing, for a salvation. I'm believing today is my day for something good from God. And every one of you who have faith working like that, we want to give opportunity to pray for you in just a minute. But I'm ending with good news about this one pearl of great price, and that is this: God is committed to us. Hey, if he's got a hook in you, if he's got a claim on you, and he was on the hunt. The message translating, that merchant was on the hunt. then he's not going to let go of you, even though, no, you're not like Christ yet, and neither am I. But God is committed to us until the formation of Christ in us is fully complete. That's why the pearl grows gradually. That's why the pearl is a hidden work. But God is committed until the formation of Christ in us is totally, perfectly, completely matured. Galatians 4:19 tells us that, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Until Christ is formed in you. He's going to labor over that pearl, that making of a one pearl with great value to the kingdom. He's going to labor on us. He's going to do a work in us until Christ is perfectly formed in us. We have his word. He's not going to turn back. I was sharing with Lawrence Tuning a few days ago, and we were talking about the parables of Jesus. And I told Lawrence, I said, I'm going to talk about the pearl of great price. That's the next parable I'm going to preach on. And Lawrence said, oh, Carl, it's interesting you say that, because I have been writing a song for 5 years. Talk about the pearl being a gradual work. And he said, I have everything I need for the song to be finished. For 5 years it's been finished except for one line. My God. And he said, it's called the pearl. And I said, well, Lawrence, don't sing it to me yet, even though I can hardly wait. I said, but what are the lyrics? And he gave them to me. He's got to finish this song. He's going to have to do it and sing it right up here. It's called The Pearl. Just some of the lyrics. I hold in my hand a precious gem, a jewel so rare, extraordinary, a priceless pearl. People look at me, nothing much to see, just an ordinary man. But if they only knew, hidden from their view, how rich I am. A priceless pearl. Now, great lyrics for a song. People look at me, nothing much to see, just an ordinary man. But if they only knew, hidden from their view, how rich I am, a priceless pearl. Would you stand with me, please? Everybody stand. Bow your heads, and please, nobody leave for the next 60 seconds. Nobody stepping out of where you are except the men and women who are offering themselves now to pray for you if you'd like prayer. If they would come, the prayer team. Bow your heads, please. Father, this has been a visitation today. We have met with God in this place today. None of us wasted our time by getting together today. God had a high purpose for our service today. God showed up in power in our midst today. God has something to say to his people today. And he speaks his word as we are able to hear it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to dismiss in just a minute or two and give you an opportunity to come and receive prayer for a need in your life to be met, for the word of the Lord to speak to the need you have in your life. But while every head's bowed, every eye closed, anybody here say, you know, I'm not where I should be with God. I'm not even sure if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. I know about God, been in church all my life, perhaps, but I have an honest doubt, and it's honest. I have an honest doubt. I know I'm not where I should be spiritually under the lordship of Jesus for my life. Anybody want to just raise your hand and be honest with me just to say that? Anybody want to be that honest with me this morning? God bless that hand in the middle section. God bless that hand. God bless the hand back to my left. God bless you for being honest. I'm giving you the word of the Lord right now. You're 90% where you should be. Already 90%. And you can be at 100 in the next 2 minutes. It's a matter of faith, and it's a hidden work. Can't nobody see by looking at the outside. A few hands have gone up. Anybody else want to just say, I want to be honest. I have honest doubt. Honest doubt. Thank you for those hands. Now then, let me ask one more question just before we dismiss. If you're standing here today and say, I have been so desperate for a touch from God, for a word from God. I've been so dry and stagnant. I've needed this presence of God. And I know while these waters are troubled, He can meet a need I have in my life. Maybe it's healing for your body. Maybe it's prayer for a child or another loved one. Maybe it's a problem in your marriage. Maybe it's financial. Maybe you need a job. Maybe you need direction. You don't know what to do next and you need a clear word. Anybody with a need in your life that you believe God can speak to today? Many hands. All right, then, hands down. Instructions as we close. For those of you who raised your hand that you're just not perfectly sure that you're where you should be with the Lord, definitely you should come forward and let one of these men or women pray over you. Just tell them, I just want to be sure I'm okay with the Lord before I leave this. And they will pray that way. You will leave with blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. And then for those of you who raised your hand for other needs for prayer, come and let the Lord speak to you. We release gifts of the Spirit. We release the Holy Spirit of God Himself to show up to address the need in your life, whether it's healing for your body, direction, whatever your need might be. My Lord, the waters are troubled in this house today. God is moving, and He's moving toward you. The question is, will you move toward Him? And our altars are open. Thank you for worshiping with us today. May your day and your week be blessed because of your faithfulness to the house of God.